The following is a message from Pastor Ellis Orozco of First Baptist Richardson. For more information, please visit fbcr.org.
Oh, it's so good to see you this morning. Last week I was preaching in the Contemporary Worship Service, and I want to thank Paul Major for so wonderfully preaching in here. And we are preaching a series through who we are, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, who God is. We're trying to understand our identity. Last year, we spent the entire year calling each other to passionately pursue Jesus. That has been again and again and again. When we say, we don't want to point you to any person, to any man, to any preacher, to any steeple, to any building, to any church. We want to point you to Jesus. We want you to passionately pursue Jesus every day of your life. And this year, we want to ask you to take it one step further, that as you passionately pursue Jesus, we want you to be looking for and thinking about that other person that you're going to bring along with you. The Bible calls that being a disciple maker, and it is the number one job Jesus calls us to, is to take someone else who's maybe a little further behind us in the journey and help them to passionately pursue Jesus even as we are passionately pursuing Jesus. And to do that, we're taking a journey between now and Easter, and we begin with this idea of identity. We have to get found grounded theologically, biblically, in who we are, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and who God is in our lives. And so today, as Andy's already mentioned, we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit. To do that, let's look at John chapter 14. The night before his death, Jesus gathers together with his closest disciples. And one last time, he knows what's happening the next day. So one last time, he begins to pour into them. He begins to give them everything that God wants them. He begins to speak very clearly to them. And in John chapter 14, he begins to talk about the one who is going to come after him, the Holy Spirit. So let's read there. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 15, he says this. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. You will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Jesus here speaking to his disciples is talking to them about the role of the Holy Spirit, the one that he is going to leave behind. I have to be honest with you and just confess, I grew up in the Baptist church. That's not what I'm confessing about. But I did grow up in the Baptist church, and I grew up as a kid in the 1970s, and I was taught, I think unintentionally, I was taught to keep the Holy Spirit at a little bit of an arm's length, because what was happening in the 1970s, not just in the Baptist church, but in many denominations, what was happening was something called the charismatic movement was sweeping through many denominations. A movement that placed a high, high emphasis on the Holy Spirit in general and on speaking in tongues as a manifestation of that Spirit in particular. And there were many, of course, who disagreed with that. And so I and my church included, and I believe there was this almost fear of that movement that caused some churches to unintentionally teach their young to keep the Holy Spirit at arm's length, to be careful about this Holy Spirit. And I think that that's probably, possibly even more dangerous than any heresy that might be wrapped up with the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want to encourage you to be open, to ask God, give me, Lord Jesus, whatever you want me to have. Whatever you want me to have, Lord Jesus, give to me. Because the Holy Spirit, because some have been taught to keep him at arm's length, and for many other reasons, the Holy Spirit is this kind of fuzzy character of the divine Trinity, right? He's hard to understand and hard to get. It's almost as if, God, the Father, is clear who he is. Jesus is a no-brainer. We have a lot of information about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit tends to be the forgotten one of the Trinity. It's almost like the Holy Spirit is the middle child of the Trinity, getting lost between the eldest and the youngest. And it's hard for us sometimes to fully understand and know
who he is. And there is also this tendency when talking about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is this tendency in our minds at least to create a hierarchy, if you will, where God the Father is at the top, Jesus is just under him, and the Holy Spirit is the young stepchild. And so sometimes the Holy Spirit can get lost. Listen, this is not a new problem. The early Christian church struggled also with the role of the Holy Spirit. The earliest Christian writers wrestled with the role that the Holy Spirit played and who the Holy Spirit was. One of the earliest Christian writers that we still have his writings was a man named Irenaeus. And Irenaeus was born literally 100 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. He was born in a place called Smyrna, and he was born into the Christian church. He grew up in the Christian church. He became bishop, you can read, senior pastor, of the Christian church in Lyon, France, where he did much of his writings. And we still have some of his writings. And in one of his writings in particular called Against Heresies, he talks a lot. Now remember, he's only writing about 100 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. And so he is a representative of what the earliest Christians were saying and struggling with this idea. They debated again and again this idea of the Trinity and Father and Son and Holy Spirit and the roles they played. And Irenaeus, a representative of that kind of struggle, said that the Holy Spirit was actively and intimately involved in the creation of the world, that Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he calls them the two hands of God in creation. He says that the Holy Spirit was actively involved in the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures, the writings of the Bible. He called the Holy Spirit the finger of God that wrote on the Moses' tablets the Ten Commandments. He said that the Holy Spirit and Jesus were intimately and intrinsically involved in all that God has ever done. And it was Irenaeus, this early Christian theologian, pastor, leader, who said this. He said, "Where the church is, there is also the Spirit. Where the Spirit is, there is also the church and all grace." So he equated the work of the Holy Spirit with the work of the church, and more importantly, with the work of God's grace in our lives. So, obviously, from the very beginning, the work of the Holy Spirit has been seen as being indispensable and indistinguishable from the work of God and the work of Jesus and the work of the church. And here's why. I'm going to tell you why I think that's true. I believe that's true, here's why I think it's true. Well, there are a lot of reasons that that's true, but that's for like a 16-week seminary course, okay? But like in the 25 minutes I have left, I know y'all are thinking, right, you're just going to go 25 minutes, right, Ellis? Anyway, in the time I have left, here's the primary reason I think that that is true. The primary reason that the early Christian fathers were so big on the Holy Spirit. And it is this. The Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus left behind for his disciples when he went to be with the Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit is the one and the only one that Jesus left behind. Jesus says in verse 18, he says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And him giving us the Holy Spirit is Jesus coming to us. He gives us the Holy Spirit because he didn't want to leave us alone. Can you understand that? Not wanting to leave someone alone. I was standing with a woman, this was years ago, about 18 years ago now. I was standing with a woman in her early 70s at the hospital bedside of her husband who was dying. They had already taken off all of the equipment and they were just waiting. He was dying. And we stood there by his deathbed, she and I, and she turned to me with tears brimming in her eyes in her early 70s saying, "You know, I've never been alone." She married him when she was 18 years old. She went from her father's house to her husband's house. And he was a great man. He was a great leader in the community. He was an educator. He was a principal and a superintendent of schools. And there's a school in McAllen named after him. And he's a wonderful man and a great leader. And she had depended on him for so many years. And she turned to me and she said, I've never been alone. He's holding on because he doesn't want to leave me alone. Do you understand what that feels like? And I said to her, well, just tell him. Tell him it's okay. Tell him you're going to be all right. And as she began to tell him, I'm going to be all right, he drifted away. We don't want to leave the people we love alone. A number of years back in 2005, I had the opportunity to go to England, to Europe, on someone else's dime. That's always nice. But I was given a scholarship, my wife and I, as pastors, young pastors. This was 2005. I was a young pastor back then. To go to the Baptist World Alliance, which was being held in Birmingham, England that year. And so Priscilla, my wife, and I began to make plans to go to England, a southern tour of England, Stonehenge, and the House of Anne Hathaway, and Oxford, the castle where Churchill was born, all that, to go to Birmingham. And it was a beautiful trip. But as we were preparing for it, we began to think, we're going to be in an airplane, the two of us, for a long time, flying over the ocean. What happens if the plane goes down and we both die at the same time? And we went through this process. It was an excruciating process of writing a will. And the primary concern was, who gets the kids? I didn't have any money. Well, I had a life insurance policy, and actually I'm worth more dead than I am alive. How many of you can relate to that? Worth more dead than I am alive. Please don't tell my kids that. They're at this immature age where I'm not sure what kind of plans they might start hatching, okay? But I am worth more dead than alive, so what do we do with the money that they get? What do we do with the kids? Who do we leave the kids with? And it was an excruciating process of trying to decide who. We don't want to leave them alone. This is Jesus. The night before his death, he is facing the cross, and he knows what is coming. He knows what's going to happen, and he doesn't want to leave them alone. Just look at verses 17 and 18, where he says this: the world cannot accept the Holy Spirit, because they cannot see him, nor can they know him. He says, but you know him. You know him because he's going to be living inside of you. Jesus says to them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you alone. I refuse to leave you alone. And every parent says, amen. He says, I will come to you. And here's what I want you to see, is that the Holy Spirit living inside of you is Jesus coming to you. It is Jesus not leaving you alone. So what does that mean then? What does it mean? Well, Jesus says this in verse 16. He says this: I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Now, what I want to do is I want to spend the rest of the time really unpacking what it means to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, what the role of the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And I want to do it by unpacking that word here that my Bible translates advocate. It is the word parakletos in the Greek. It is the word parakletos. It's actually a Greek word that is a compound word. It's made up of two Greek words. The first word, para, which means alongside. A paraprofessional is someone who works alongside a professional. A paralegal is someone who works alongside a legal expert. Para means alongside. And kletos, and the Greek word kletos means to call or to invite or to come. So that parakletos is the one who is called alongside you, the one who comes alongside you, the one who is invited alongside you. Parakletos, the word here that my Bible translates advocate, is one of these nuanced foreign words. You know, I speak Spanish, so I understand that there are certain Spanish words that there is no real English equivalent, right? And you have to use several English words to really give the essence of this other word. And so in the Greek, it's the same thing. This is one of those nuanced Greek words, multi-layered, multivalent, that really requires multiple English words to really describe what it really means. And that's why different Bibles use different words for this word. And that's what I want to unpack. Three words in particular that are the most commonly used words to try and describe the multi-layered meaning of this parakletos, the one who comes alongside. And the first one is the one that my Bible actually used, the NIV, and it is the word advocate. that he is the one who comes alongside you to defend you. He comes to defend you. He comes to fight your battles with you. He comes to be the spirit that gives you a courageous spirit because he is fighting the battles for you. There's this scene that I love in the story of David and Goliath. You know the story of David and Goliath, right? Everybody just kind of go like this if you know the story. Okay, so there's this point where David is decided he's the only Hebrew who will fight this giant, right? And he comes to the giant not with our body armor, not with a big spear, not with a shield, not with all the paraphernalia of battle that most would have. He comes just with a slingshot and five smooth stones, right? And he's coming before this giant, and he is diminutive in the sight of Goliath. Goliath, it is estimated, was something like almost 9 feet tall. David is 5 foot nothing, okay? And so this is not even going to be a fight. And he comes before Goliath, and Goliath laughs at him, right? He laughs at him. His spear weighs more than David does. He laughs at him. And David in this moment says this. He says, I am not afraid of you. Because, and here's why, because the battle belongs to the Lord. The Lord will slay you this day. The Lord will fight my battle for me. And the Lord will beat you with no problem, you see. This is an ancient Hebrew idea that whatever battle you are fighting, whatever struggle is against you, whatever wind or waves are beating against your life today, that those battles don't have to be your battles. They're not your battles to fight alone. That the advocate, the counsel, the one who comes alongside of you is there to fight your battles with you. Question. Do you have that person in your life who is such a good friend that you know you can call them anytime, night or day, in the wee hours of the morning, in the middle of the night, because you're in trouble, and they will drop everything, change out of their pajamas, and be there for you, right? Think of that person. That person who you know will just go, if you tell them, they're going to come and they're going to help you. They're always on your side. They're always in your corner. They're ready to fight any battle with you. Who is your hoss, right? Remember from Bonanza? Now I'm really showing my age, right? Bonanza, that old Western TV series where you had Ben Cartwright and his three sons, Adam Cartwright, Hoss, whose name was Eric, by the way, but he was Hoss, and Little Joe. And Hoss wore the big 10-gallon white hat, right? And he was this big old burly guy. And they were always getting into fights, and the three brothers, right? And they would be fighting 10 guys. Well, Hoss would be taking out 8 of them, right? While the other two brothers are fighting one-on-one, right? Hoss is the one, if you're in a fight, you want Hoss on your side, right? Well, the Holy Spirit is your Hoss. I don't think it's heresy to say that. The Holy Spirit is the one that if you're in a fight, if you're in the battle of your life, and I don't care whether it's cancer or relationships or children or addiction or sin or whatever it is in your life, if you're in the fight of your life, the Holy Spirit is the one that you want him on your side. And Jesus says, I'm sending him to you so that he can be your Hoss, your advocate, the one who is always fighting for you. This is an old idea. Look at Psalm chapter 143, verses 7, 8, and 9, where David is singing, and he says this, answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. My spirit is always failing. I don't know about you, but my spirit is always failing me. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Rescue me from my enemies. Be the one who fights the enemy for me. I hide myself in you. And then in Psalm chapter 91, he says this, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. He is the one who fights my battles for me. This is the first thing you have to understand about the Holy Spirit, that he is your advocate and he is the one who comes alongside you to fight your battles with you and for you. And then there's this. This is another word that is used, and it is the word comforter, because he is the one who strengthens you. That's what someone who comforts you does. They come alongside you. They put their arm around you to give you strength from within. In the chaplaincy, they talk about the ministry of presence. That when someone is in pain, when someone is grieving, when someone is lost, the chaplain knows that they come around them and they don't even have to say a word. It's just a light touch. It's just a presence. There is a ministry of just being present to the person who is suffering. And this is what the comforter does. He comes alongside of us to bring us strength from within. He is direct access to Jesus. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you because I am sending a comforter. Some Bibles translate it comforter. The King James, by the way, translates it comforter. He is the one who will come and he will bring Jesus to you to strengthen you from within. Look at what it says. Yeah, that's what it says. I was home for Christmas and with my mom, and most of you know my dad passed away. It's been a year and a half now. And sitting at home at Christmas with my mom, it's our second Christmas without dad, her second Christmas without her husband of 56 years, right? And I always wonder how she's doing. And I ask her, and she says she's fine. But she's a widow. My mom's a widow. That seems weird still for me to say. And that the one that she had been with for 56 years is gone. He's not there anymore. And so what does she do? Well, she reads a lot. She's a voracious reader. So she gets this thing called the Daily Bread, right? It's a devotional. She has the big book version of the Daily Bread, large print, right? And she's always reading it, our Daily Bread. She watches television. She has not made the jump from television to computer. And I've told her, Mom, you can listen to my sermons. She says, oh, are you on television? No, Mom, I'm not. It's the computer. Oh. But if it's on television, so she watches every day. She watches Ed Young Sr., the pastor at Second Baptist in Houston, preach. It's good. She watches him. She watches Billy Graham anytime he's anywhere in sight. She watches Billy Graham. It's good. And much to my chagrin, she watches Joel Osteen from time to time. Sorry. I'm sorry. But he makes her feel good. I try to tell her, but she watches. What is she doing? She's getting strength from within. The Word of God, the presence of Jesus coming to her through these writings and through these servants and through these messages. She's finding strength from within. That's when I know she's okay. When she stops reading her Daily Bread, when she stops watching Ed Young Sr. on television, then that's when I get worried. She's getting strength from within. This is what Jesus has promised. I'm sending you one, and he is going to strengthen you from within. This is what Jesus does. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Comes alongside of you. Don't keep him at arm's length. He is the one who will strengthen you from within in those moments when you need him most. And he is the one who will teach you everything Jesus wants you to know in that experience, in that moment. He is always teaching you. That's the other thing that he says. He is the one, he says, who will lead you into deeper and deeper knowledge. Look at what he says a little later on in the chapter. We didn't read it. Chapter 14, verse 26. He says this. He says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He is the one who will teach you all things and will continuously remind you of what Jesus has already taught you, of what he's already said. You don't have to take notes. Jesus says to his disciples, don't take notes. The Holy Spirit's going to remind you of everything I have already said. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' voice in your head. He's the voice in your head from on high, from Jesus. I'm really starting to understand what that feels like as I get older. Lately, I've had a hard time sleeping. I was struggling to fall asleep. I was jittery, anxious, just couldn't fall asleep. And Priscilla was asking me, well, what's going on? What's different? Because I've never had a problem doing two things. I've never had a problem eating or sleeping, ever, right? Those, like, are natural to me. And I'm still eating well, thank you very much, as you can tell, but I'm struggling with sleep. She said, what's the matter? What are you doing? What are you doing different? I said, nothing. I don't think I'm doing, what'd you do today? Well, I did this, and I did that, and I went here, and then I went to Starbucks, and I worked at Starbucks, and you know. She said, did you drink coffee? Yeah, I had coffee at Starbucks. How many cups? Said, five. 5 cups of coffee at Starbucks? Yeah, well, you have to understand. I said, look, I'm explaining, look. The mediums at Starbucks, the grande at Starbucks, cost $2.44. Okay. $2.44 for a cup of coffee, but I got this free app on my phone that gives me free refills. And if I drink 5 of them, I've got the price down to 48 cents a cup. You see, that's my dad. My dad died and possessed me. He's in my head, his voice, $2.44 for a cup of coffee, son, what are you thinking? Drink 5 of them, they'll be 48 cents each. That's my dad. I never thought that way before. That's my dad, right? And my dad to me is saying, 48 cents, good boy, 48 cents a cup, you got it down. So, I'm not sleeping, but that's a small price to pay to hear my dad in my head saying, good boy. Good boy. That's what I want to hear. That's what any boy wants to hear. His dad say, good boy. Well, the voice in your head is not supposed to be Antonio Alvarado Orozco. It's not supposed to be my dad. The voice in your head is Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus leading you and guiding you. And the craving of your heart, the craving of your soul is to hear that voice, the Holy Spirit voice saying, good boy, good girl, way to go. You're on the right track. Yes. Keep going. Right. It's that voice. That's why the scriptures tell us that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to sanctify us. Now, the word sanctify is just a fancy theological word that means to make you better and better and better and better and better every day. You're never going to get there till you get to heaven, but better and better and better every day. In other words, more and more and more and more like Jesus. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make you more and more and more like Jesus. And it is the singular, unique work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, no one else can do that except the Holy Spirit. The voice in your head making you more and more and more and more like Jesus every day. That the Holy Spirit is the one who sanctifies us and transforms us more and more and more each day into the image of Jesus Christ. It's that voice that I want you to hear every day. It's that voice, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, that I want you to hunger for more and more every day. It's that voice telling you where to go and how to be and what to do that I want you to listen to more and more and more each day. Jesus leaving his disciples, and if you've ever had to leave someone, If you've ever had to leave someone, you understand this. Jesus, leaving his disciples, says, I don't want to leave you alone. I refuse to leave you alone. So as I go, I'm going to send someone, the Holy Spirit, who will be your advocate. He will fight for you. He will always be on your side. Right? He will comfort you. He will strengthen you from within, no matter what pain or mountain you're facing. He will strengthen you. And he will teach you everything I've already taught you. He will keep teaching you every day, making you more and more and more like Jesus. Don't keep him at arm's length. Bring him in. And say to Jesus today, Jesus, I want everything you want me to have. Whatever it is, Lord Jesus, if it's from you, I want it. Amen. Father, we thank you because you are so good. You love us so much that you did not leave us alone. You knew, Father, you knew, you know us like no one else. You created us, and you know that we cannot be left alone, that we need you. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. And Father, today we pray that as we come to you, that you would bless us and fill us with more and more of your Spirit, that we would be a church that opens up our hearts to you and says, Father, we want everything you want to give us, every power, every strength, everything you want to give us, give to us, Father, and help us to be your people, your children, your disciple makers, your followers, your church. We love you, Father, today. We love you, and we praise you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.